Jesus came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. Then a Samaritan woman came to draw water from the well.
"Will you give me a drink?"
"You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?"
"You must understand that Jews do not associate with Samaritans."
"If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
"Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?"
"Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life."
"Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water."
"Go, call your husband and come back."
"I have no husband."
"You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true."
"Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem."
"Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth."
"I know that Messiah, the Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us."
"I who speak to you am he."
Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with the woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people,
"Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did."
They came out of the town.
Could this be the Christ?
They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something."
"I have food to eat that you know nothing about."
Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?"
"My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for the harvest. Even now, the reaper draws his wages. Even now, he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor."
Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony.
"He told me everything I ever did."
So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world.
It's a familiar storyline in children's literature. A prince riding through the forest stumbles upon a beautiful but comatose woman. So does he call 911? No, he gets off his horse and he kneels down to kiss her. And a new relationship begins. It's a familiar scenario in those Hollywood romantic comedies. Two people bump into each other outside the shopping mart. Their eyes meet as they scramble to pick up all those groceries that have spilled across the sidewalk. And what happens? Well, a new relationship begins. It's also a familiar scene in the pages of the Bible. I mean, think about it. A hero travels to a foreign land and encounters a woman at a well. Water is drawn, the girl rushes home, and a new relationship begins. Think about it. Of course, we don't really expect the same sort of relationship in this scenario. I mean, we don't expect that Jesus is even going to talk to this woman. I mean, she was a Samaritan. Ever since some of the Jewish exiles had come back from Babylon to find that the central section of their ancient territory was now occupied by a group who claimed to be true descendants of Abraham, but were actually mixed with the Assyrians, and who opposed their return, well, there had been constant trouble. Sometimes it had broken out into actual skirmishes with bloodshed and murder, but mostly it was simply a matter of not mixing. They avoided each other, and they would not, could not, share eating and drinking vessels with them. We wouldn't expect Jesus to talk to this woman. First of all, she was a Samaritan. But secondly, she was a woman. And in Jesus' time, devout Jewish men would not have allowed themselves to be alone with a woman. If it was unavoidable, well, they certainly wouldn't have entered into conversation with her. The risk, they would have thought, would have been way too high. I mean, the risk of impurity, the risk of gossip, the risk of ultimately being drawn into immorality. We wouldn't expect Jesus to talk with this Samaritan woman. She was a Samaritan. She was a woman. And then as the story develops, we realize she's also a woman of poor reputation. What is revealed through the course of her conversation with Jesus is that she had a series of husbands. Now, when we hear this, we can imagine all sorts of things, but put yourself back into the time of Jesus. That she would have so many husbands doesn't so much speak of her as being a serial sinner as much as a serial victim. You will recall that in ancient societies, women had very little power. Her husbands would have either have died or divorced her, most likely because she was unable to have children. It's very probable that she was now living with her dead husband's brother as the law demanded. Of course, that she was a victim doesn't change much. It can still mean she has low status. People look down on her. The fact that she was coming to draw water midday suggests that she was avoiding the other women in the community. As it is now, it was back then, people are shamed and ashamed of the crimes committed against them. So we have at least a few reasons why Jesus shouldn't be speaking with this lady. But remember that this Jesus, we are told in the Gospel of John, is the one sent by God so that the whole world can be saved. Jesus breaks boundaries to talk to her, and the Gospel of John records this extended dialogue. Jesus asks the woman for water, which begins a conversation. The conversation allows Jesus to speak of a gift that he could offer her in return, living water. Now, living water is another way of saying running water, right? Bubbling water from a brook, not just sort of stale water sitting in a well. Of course, as the conversation continues, we realize that Jesus is talking sort of metaphorically. There's two levels in this conversation. This becomes ultimately apparent when he declares that the person who drinks his water will never again be thirsty. The water he gives will quench all thirst and well up into eternal life. As the conversation moves from wells to worship, it becomes clear to the woman that Jesus is more than just a thirsty stranger offering gifts, especially when Jesus tells the woman about her own history, especially when he describes that string of relationships she's had. She acknowledges him as a prophet, and he declares to her that he is the Messiah. I, the one speaking to you, I am. I am. Now, as his disciples return, they are surprised to find Jesus conversing with this woman. We might add to John's retelling that they are surprised to find Jesus talking to a woman at a well, of all places. The Samaritan woman runs off and tells her neighbors about the encounter. They come to meet Jesus for themselves, and they discover for themselves that Jesus is the Savior of the entire world. Now, this is an interesting story and a very interesting conversation, which, like our biblical well stories, culminates in a new relationship. Actually, new relationships. It stands out in stark contrast to that conversation we heard last Sunday. There, Nicodemus, a man of rank and privilege, a Jewish insider, comes to Jesus by night and leaves the conversation confused. Here, today, Jesus approaches a Samaritan woman, an outsider, an outcast by day, and she begins to see who Jesus really is. Of course, there's a difference, isn't there? Right? Nicodemus is a person of standing and status, and he's got what he needs. She, on the other hand, is broken and needy. And so she's the one who is wooed by Jesus. He breaks rules to approach her. He acknowledges her brokenness, and he promises to quench her deepest thirst. A thirst not for natural water from Jacob's well, but for God, for eternal life in the presence of God. A thirst for an enduring relationship with the very source of life and blessing. To that woman whose life has been scarred by a series of broken relationships, Jesus promises to meet her deepest need for a relationship of blessing that is stable, that will last forever. So here we are at the well this morning. We are gathered together at the well. You may not have expected it, but Jesus has shown up again. And perhaps, he's starting a conversation with you. He knows, it seems, almost everything about you, all that you have done, all the brokenness that is apparent to everyone, and all the brokenness that is known to no one. He knows this, but he will cross any boundary to speak to you, to offer you living water. Living water, a gift of new life that comes through a relationship with him. Living water, God's very presence that promises to quench our deepest thirst. The question for all of us is whether we will keep drinking that stale water that we are accustomed to drinking. The question is whether we will seek this promised life Jesus is talking about, but seek to fulfill it in our own way, by chasing another human relationship, or pursuing the accomplishment of yet another goal, or maybe going out and buying that big ticket item we've been longing for. The question is, will we continue to drink stale water out of our own cracked cisterns? Or will we welcome the living water that Jesus offers us today? Well, may we accept this new life, and may we joyfully share our testimony with others, inviting them to come and see. Amen.